B'siyata Shmaya, we're going to learn Shkolim Daf Yod Daled. We're going to start approximately a third of the way down from the top of the Omud, Gvini Koruz. Last word of a line, Gvini. So the Gemara is taking us back to the Mishnah on Daf Yod Gimel Omud Alef. The Mishnah said there that there were a number of different appointed people who were appointed for different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. And one of them was a person called Gvini, and he was appointed, and he was in charge of the cruz of making the announcements. Says the Gemara, Shoya Machris, he would announce Bebeis HaMikdash, Ma Hoya Omer, what would he say? He would say as follows, and he would do this in the morning before the Korban Tomid was brought. Imdu HaKoyanim LaAvoido, Koyanim stand up to do the Avoido, Ulevim, and the Levim leDuchanon, they should get prepared to be on the platform where they would do the singing. VYisrael, and the representatives of Klal Yisrael that would have to be present when the Korban Tomid were being brought, they would be leMa'amodon, they would be stationed where they were supposed to be, ready for the Korban Tomid to be brought. Agrippa Samelech Shoma Koiloi. At one point, Agrippa Samelech, he heard the sound of this Gvini that was ad ches parasois, the distance of 8 parasois. Now the truth is that Chazal tell us that the voice of the Kohen went much further than that, went 10 parasois. It happened to be Agrippa Samelech was 8 parasois away and he heard it, and he was so impressed v'nosan leimaton his harbe, and he gave him many gifts. Continues the Gemara, taking us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah then said that there was somebody called Ben Gever, and he was Al Ne'ilas HaShe'orim, he was in charge of locking the gates. Says the Gemara, Tirgem Rav Kumei Debeis Rabbi Shila. And what happened was, and it was very common, that the person who was giving a drasha would speak relatively quietly, and there would be somebody appointed next to him who would have a loud voice, who would say over what he was saying to the audience. In this case, it was Rav who was being the translator, he was being the one that was giving over what Rabbi Shila was saying to the audience. Koro Gavra Ichriz Kruzo. Then what happened there was that Rabbi Shila was discussing when it's a sugi elsewhere in Shas, in Yuma, regarding what time they would clear off some of the ashes from the Trumas Hadeshen, from the top of the Mizbeach. And there the term used in the Mishnah was Lehoiso Kriyas HaGever Magas. There it's referring to the calling of the Gever. And Reb Shila mentioned this. Rav, who was being the one that was going to translate that for the audience, he went out of his way to explain at length, what does Kriyas HaGever, what does the word Gever mean? Because we know that sometimes Gever is referring to a person. Sometimes Gever can also be referring to a rooster, to a chicken. We find elsewhere explicitly that Gever means a rooster. So the question is, what did Rav Shila mean? So Rav assumed that it means Koro Gavra, a man called out, Achriz Kruzo, and he proclaimed a proclamation. And obviously Rav was assuming that who was the person that would proclaim the proclamation, that would say it's time to do the Trumas Hadeshen. It would be this Ben, it would be this person who was doing the proclamations. Omar Lei, Rav Shila said to Rav, Emoir Koro Tarnagoylo. No, I didn't mean that when it says there in the Mishnah in Yuma that there was the time for the Trumas Hadeshen was but the Kriyas HaGever, I didn't mean when a man would call out. I meant when the chicken, when the rooster would call out. Omar Lei, so Rav said back to Rav Shila, no, Vatninon, did we not learn Ben Gever on Ilas HaShorim, where clearly Gever here doesn't mean a rooster, Gever means a person. Islach Lameima Bar Tarnagoylo? Does it make sense that it's talking about the son of a rooster? Of course not. It's talking about the son of man. So therefore, I assume, says Rav, that when that Mishnah says that the Trumas Hadeshen was done when a Gever called out, then it's not referring to the time that the roosters would call out, rather the time that the man who was going round calling out, that it was the time when he would call out. And exactly what they were arguing about, the Taklin Chattin goes into that a little bit, but that's how to read this Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Ben Bovi al Hapakia. The next thing it said in the Mishnah was that a person called Ben Bovi, he was responsible for the Pakia, for making the wicks of the menorah. Says the Gemara, Shehoya Mizaveig psilos. Zivug is always when there are two things that are similar. And the Taklin Chaditin says that it was high, it's a hidor, it's more beautiful when all the wicks are the same height. And he would make sure that all the wicks of the menorah, when they were positioned, were all the same height. Rabbi Yosi al Kufra. Rabbi Yosi went up to a place called Kufra. Bo'u memanyo alayhin paranosin. He wanted to appoint over the townspeople caretakers, people that would take care of the very important things, even those to do with life and death issues, but very important issues of the place. But they didn't accept it from him. Nobody wanted to accept those positions, either because there's something virtuous about sonos arabonus, not to take any authority over the public, or to run away from honor, and or they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to do what they had to do, that they would fail. Either way, they didn't accept it. Oal v'omar kamein, he got up and he said in front of them, Ben Bovi ala pakia. There's this person called Ben Bovi, and all he had to do was to take care of the wicks. Umaim ze, if he shenisman ala psilis, all he was doing was something as basic and simple as taking care of the wicks. Zachol imonisim gedolei ador, he merited being mentioned in the Mishnah together with gedolei ador, the greatest of the generation. Atem, you that I'm trying to encourage you, shatem nismanin al chayei nefoshos, I want you to take care of life and death issues in the town. Leikolshkin, even more so, that it will make you deserving of being counted together with the greatest of the generation, and it's a great mitzvah, and the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh overrides all other mitzvahs, and instead of running away from it, you should be encouraged to take the positions. Continues the Gemara, Ben Arazah ala tziltzel, the person called Ben Arazah, he was responsible for this musical instrument of the cymbals. Says the Gemara, ki hadu taninon, we learnt in a Mishnah, heinif hasgan basudrin, when the skan kohen gadol would wave the flag, then vehikish ben arazah, which was the point when the kohen was pouring the wine, vehikish ben arazah ala tzaltzel, at that point ben arazah would knock, he would sound the sound of this musical instrument, and that is when the Leviim knew was the time to start singing. Continues the Mishnah, Hugrus, or the Gemara, that Hugrus ben Levi al Hashir, Hugrus from Shevet Levi, he was responsible on the singing. Omer Bacha, Ni'ima Yaseira Hoya Yodea, he was very melodious. Va'omrolov, it was said about him, al Hugrus ben Levi, Shayoman imis koile bezemer, that he would use his sound to sing very beautifully. When he would thrust his thumbs into his mouth, then there were a number of different notes and tunes and sounds that he could produce from his mouth. And in wonderment and shock, possibly, the other kohanim would jump back. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Ben Garmu al Maiselechem Aponim. The people of Beis Garmu, they were the ones who were appointed for the Lechem Aponim. And we know the Lechem Aponim were these interestingly shaped, almost ship-shaped, boat-shaped breads. They had walls on two sides, it looked like a face, and there were 12 of these breads that were baked before Shabbos. On Shabbos they were put onto the Shulchan in the Heichal, and every Shabbos, the following Shabbos, they would be removed and new breads would be put on. Says the Gemara, Beis Garmu, Hoyu Bekiyin, they were expert with Maise Lechem Aponim in the production of the Lechem Aponim. Uber Adiyasi, and the part of what one needed to be an expert was not only to bake it, but to know how to remove these breads from the oven and from the molds that they were in order that without breaking them. They did not want to teach. These people, Ben Garmu, did not want to teach the trade, the skill, to anybody else. Sholchu Chachomim, Veiviu Umnin Me'Alexandria. The Chachomim very much wanted other people to know how to do this. So they sent for the experts from Alexandria in Egypt, Mitzrayim, Shahoy Bekiin B'Maise Lechem Aponim, who they were expert in making the Lechem Aponim, and they brought them. Uberidiyase Loi Hayu Bekiim. But they were not expert in knowing how to remove the breads from the oven. they didn't know how to remove the breads from the molds from the oven. Beis karmu, what did they do? They would heat up the oven from the inside, and bake the breads inside the oven, and it did not get spoilt. However, these people, these experts from Alexandria, they would heat up the oven on the outside of the oven, and they would bake these breads on the outside of the oven. They were too afraid to put these interesting shaped breads inside the oven in fear that they would not be able to remove them. And these breads would get spoilt. Once it became clear to the Chachomim that the experts that had been imported from Alexandria, they may have known how to bake the bread, but not how to remove them. Omru, they said, Kol ma shebora kodesh baruch hu lechvoidei bora, everything that Hashem creates in the world, He creates for His own honor. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kol po'al Hashem, anything Hashem made, lemaneihu, He did it for His sake. So they decided that Hashem obviously wanted the created or wanted Beis Garmu to be the ones to be in charge of the Lechem Aponim and not to bring other people in, and that was their job in the world. So the Chachomim called to Beis Garmu and said to them, okay, we made a mistake, we called people from Alexandria, we shouldn't have done that, and please come back. They didn't want to come. Until they doubled their wages, and this was paid for from the money of Hekdesh, they used to take 12 mona, and now they gave them 24. Rabbi Yehuda says they used to get 24, and now they were getting 48. Omru lehem, and the Chachomim said to this Beis Garmu, why don't you want to teach other people? What's the story? Omru lehem, so they said to the Chachomim, "Maseirasi biyadenu miavisenu. We have a tradition from our fathers. Shabbayis hazeh, the Beis Hamikdash osid lichoriv. At some point in time, it's going to be destroyed. And shelo yilmedu acherim v'yasu lifnei avodah zarah shelahem. We're afraid that after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, people will go astray and they will end up making the lechem upon him before the avodah zarah. And therefore, we have a tradition: don't teach anyone the trade of making the lechem upon him." B'dvorim alolu, however, there's one point, I mean, even though up until now, this was something the Chachomim did not see in a positive light, and we'll see later, it's not even clear the Chachomim believed what they were saying. The Chachomim still felt that there's a good chance that the reason that they're not telling other people how to do it was just because they wanted to be the only ones, they wanted that honor, that pride, and it was not coming from a good place. However, b'dvorim alolu, there's one thing which is definitely came from a good place and is worthy of praise. Maskir noisam l'shvach, and they are remembered with praise, that none of the children or none of the sons of this family were ever seen out with pas nekiyo me'olam. They never had white bread. They were always eating a bread that was not so white. Shaloyu oimrim, in order that nobody should say mimayse lechem aponim im oichlim, they're eating from the bread of the lechem aponim. Continues the Gemara, base of tinus Al-Maisa-Ktiris, that the base of Tinus, the home of Avtinus, the family of Avtinus, they were responsible for making the Ktiris. Shabase Avtinus, Hoyubakin, Al-Maisa-Pitum-Ktiris, they knew how to combine the different spices, how to grind them, how to pound them, they knew how to take care of it. And not only that, Ubamale Ha'oshon, besides for the ingredients and the spices, there was a specific ingredient that would cause the smoke to rise up in a very straight line, and that was a certain plant that was also put in. They did not want to teach anyone else what this plant was. So nobody else knew how to define or what this plant was. Shalchu ve'ivil, the Chachamim sent, and they brought Umnin, the experts from Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, again from Alexandria and Mitzrayim, who would be able to do this. V'hoyu bakim b'pitum akteres, they were experts in preparing the akteres. However, b'male oshon lo'hoyu bakim, they were not expert in identifying this particular plant that was needed in order for the smoke to go up in a straight line. Shall Beis Avtinus, when Beis Avtinus prepared the Ktiris, Hoysob Metameres V'Oile Kemakil, the smoke would go up in a very straight line, like a stick. Upoisa, and then only when it reached the top, the roof, then it would spread out V'Yeredes, and the smoke would come down. V'shal elu, however, these people from Alexandria, hoisa poisa miyad, as soon as the smoke started rising, it would spread out. Kivan shiodu chachomim bedover, as soon as the chachomim realized that these experts from Egypt were not the ones that were going to save the day, omru, they said, kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu lichvoide bara, anything Hashem created, He created for His own honor, shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, kol anikra b'shmi, anything that's called in my name, lichvoide barosiv, I created it for my honor. And they realized that obviously it was this Beis Avtinus that was supposed to honor Hashem by making the Keteres. So Shalchu Acharem, they called the Beis Avtinus back. They didn't want to come. Acha Kofrulam Schorom, until here too, the Chachomim had to double their wages to encourage them to come back. Yud Beis Monah Hoyunoitlim, they used to take 12 monah. Venosnu Lem Chovdalet, they offered them 24. Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, Chovdalet Hoyunoitlim, they used to get 24. Venosnu Lem Memches, and now they get 48. Omru lehem. So the Chachamim asked the Beis Avtinus, "Mipnei ma'ein atam roitzim lelamid? Why do you not want to teach other people how to make the lechem, the k'teiris?" Omru lehem. They said again, "Maseiras hi biyodenu. We have a tradition from our elders, from our fathers. Me'avisenu shabayis hazeh osid lichoriv, that the Beis Hamikdash is going to get destroyed sometime. Shleilmadu achirim, and in order that other people shouldn't learn how to do k'teiris, v'yu'esim came lifnei avodah zarah shalem, and they will then make up the k'teiris before the avodah zarah. Therefore, we do not teach anybody how to make the k'teiris. However, b'dvarim alolu maskir noisom l'shvach, there's one thing which is clearly praiseworthy on this family. Shleyotzos isha mishal echod mem, none of their wives, no woman from amongst them ever went out muvusemes me'olam with perfume. Not only that, even if one of this family married a woman from a different place, they would make a condition with her before that she would not wear perfume. Why? That nobody should say that they are being perfumed on the spices of the k'teiris. In order to keep what it says in the Pasuk, V'isem Nekim, that you should be innocent, Me'Hashem or Me'Yisrael, that nobody, not Hashem, and not any person in Klal Yisrael, should suspect you of doing something improper. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Shmuel, Pamachas Yisi Emid B'Yerushalayim, I was once standing in Yerushalayim, U'matasi Tinek Echod Mishal Beis Avtinus, I found a child from the family of Avtinus. Omar Tiloy, I said to him, B'ni, my son, Me'ezi Mishpochat, which family are you from? Omar Li said to me, Mishpachas Ploini, from that family. Omar Tile, I said to him, Bni, my son, Avisecha, your elders, Lefisha Niskavnu, Lerabu Iskvoidon, since their intention was just in order to greaten their own honor, they were only trying to protect their own honor, to make sure that nobody else should be able to do the k'tayres. Ulamayit Kvoid Shemayim, and that caused a lessening in the honor of Hashem. Lefikoch, therefore, now that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, kvoidom nismayit, their own honor has been minimized, and because nobody needs them anymore. Kvoid Shemayim nisrabe, and the Kvoid Shemayim has become larger, has become greatened, and there's a discussion in the Mefarshim exactly what that means. Does it mean exactly what it's saying, or does it mean on the contrary? It's just a nice and elegant way of saying that now in the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Kvoid Shemayim has become lessened. That's what it says here. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that Sochli Shimon ben Luga. Shimon ben Luga told me the following incident. Melaket oisi asovim, I was collecting grasses. Ani v'tinig echod mishal Beis Avtinus. I, Shimon ben Luga, and a child, one of the children from Beis Avtinus. V'raisi oisi, I suddenly realized, and I saw him shebocha, he started crying. V'raisi oisi shesochak, and then I saw that he was smiling. Omar Tile, I said to him, Bni, my child, Lomo Bochisa, why were you crying? Omar Li said, Al Kvoishal Beis Abosh and Ismait, because the home of my father, Beis Avtinus, has become less, because they used to make the k'teiras, and now they're no longer making the k'teiras, because the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Vlomo Sochakta. And then why were you smiling after that? Omar Li said to me, Ala Kovoid, because I know that in the future it's clear that Hashem is going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and the honor of Hashem's honor will be put back in place, and the honor of the tzaddikim will be put back in place, and the k'teiras will again be brought. What did you see that suddenly reminded you of the Beis HaMikdash that made you cry and then it made you smile? He said, Ma'ale Oshon Lenegdi, I saw the plant which is Ma'ale Oshon that makes the smoke raise up in a straight line. Numesi Lois, I said to him, Her Ehuli, show it to me. Omarli said to me, Rebbe, my master, my Rebbe, Mosiris Biyodi, Me'avois, I have a tradition for my fathers, Shleila Roisei Lebrayu, not to show it to any person. Continues the Gemara, Omar Biyechanon Ben Nuri, Poga Bizokin Echot, an elder met me. Mishal Beis Avtinas, one of the elders of the home of Avtinas, Omegilas Samonim Biyodo, he had the scroll of spices in his hand. Omarli said to me as follows, Rebbe, my Rebbe, Lesha'ovar, in the past, Hoya Beis Abba, Tznuin, the home of Beis Avtinas, of our father's home, was Tznuin, they were discreet. Others say that it says in Ne'emonim, they were trustworthy. And this scroll would be passed from within the family, from one to the next. And then they would know how to do the Ketores. But now, unfortunately, that the family of my father's house is not so trustworthy anymore, and therefore it's not a good idea that this scroll should pass between the family itself. You take the Megillah, but be very careful with it, that people who shouldn't see it, they shouldn't fall into the wrong hands. When I came and I related these words to Rabbi Akiva, Zolgu Ein of Dmois, then his eyes were flowing with tears. Va'omar, and he said, Me'ato, from now, Einon Utsuchim, we don't need to, or Einon Roshoim, we're not allowed to, Lazkiron Nignai. Now we know that their previous claim, that the reason they didn't want to reveal what these herbs were to other people, till now we weren't sure that they were saying the truth, that it was just because of the tradition they had, and it was done for the right reasons. Now that they've given over the scroll to others in order to protect it, now it's become clear to us that indeed what they said was true, and it was all Hashem Shemaim. And therefore we have no longer any reason to speak about them negatively. Continues the Gemara, Eloza ala paroiches, we saw in the Mishnah that somebody called Eloza was in charge of the paroiches, of the curtains. Says the Gemara, Shayim emunah al urge paroiches, he was in charge of those that were weaving the curtains. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah that Pinchas HaMalbish, Pinchas was the one who would help the Kohanim to dress and to take off the Big Day Kohuna. Says the Gemara, Shayim Malbish, Big Day Kohuna Gedoila, that besides for helping all the other Kohanim, he would help the Kohen Gadol. When he would put on his 8 clothes and remove them, he would help them. And how do we know that there was a virtue, that was something which is of value to actually help them with their donning of these clothes? That there's Maisa B'Kohen Echod, there was a Kohen, Shehilbish La'astratios, there was some military officer, and he helped him to put on his uniform. La'astratios Echod, V'nosan Lo'ishmoino Zuhuvim, and this officer gave this Kohen 8 Zuhuvim. V'ist Amra, others say, Treosa Yavla, he gave him 12 Zuhuvim, Zuhuvim are gold coins, for having helped him. So you see that helping somebody put on their uniform and dress appropriately is something which is worthy of praise. Continues the next Mishnah, Halacha Beis. Ein poichasin mishivo amar koilin. There were never less than 7 supervisors in the Beis HaMikdash. Ushloisha gizborim, and underneath them there were at least 3 treasurers. Vein oisim srora ala tzibur, it's not inappropriate for a person to hold any authority over the public, Pochis Mishnaim, on his own, with less than 2 people together. Chutz, the exception of 2 people, of Miben Achio, Shal Choyle Me'aim, besides for Ben Achio, which we saw in the previous Mishnah, that he was responsible for diagnosing and helping the Kohanim that had a problem with their digestive system, and Elozo, Shal Aparoiches, who was appointed for the people who are weaving the curtains. Sha'oison Kiblu Reva Tzibaleh, most of the public accepted these 2 people upon them, and therefore they worked independently, they worked on their own. It's obviously all the others mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that whole long list of 15 people mentioned on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, obviously they were just the main Group one responsible was mentioned, but they were obviously working in pairs besides for these two, Ben Achia and Elazar, who were working on their own. Says the Gemara, Ein poichasin megimul gizborim, there were never less than three treasurers, umizayinam arkoilim, and seven supervisors above them. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, mishnei katlikin, and even above the seven supervisors, there were two overseers who would overlook everything that was going on. Adol dichsiv, and this is actually from a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim that goes as follows: V'yichiel v'azazyahu v'nachas v'asoil. No, sorry, there were three. V'yichiel v'azazyahu v'nachas. Those three that the Gemara says gizborin. They were the three treasurers. Then the pasuk carries on: V'asoil, v'yirimois, v'yozeved, v'eliel, v'yismachyo, u'machas u'beneyo. Those seven amarkoilin, they were the supervisors. And then the pasuk continues: Pkidim miyad koinan yohu v'shimi ochiv. Those were another two. They were the two katlikin. They were the two overseers. And then the pasuk continues: B'mifkad yechizkiyahu hamelech va'azaryahu negid beis elokim. Those were an extra two. Who are those two? So yechizkiyahu hamelech was the king, and Azaryahu negid beis elokim was a kohen gadol who was considered a nogid in Hashem's house. So that's what he says: hamelech v'kohen gadol. So we see here that there were the gizborim, above them the amarkoilim, the supervisors, above them the katlikin, which were the overseers, above them was the melech and the kohen gadol, the king and the kohen gadol. So there were five levels. Says the Gemara, Kashu Choysim, when they wanted to seal one of the chambers and the money inside it to leave it for a later stage when they would remove the money, first Hagizbar Choysim, first one of the treasurers would put a signet on it. V'nosnil Amarkil, and then the supervisor would put a signet. Then they would like give it over to the Amarkil, and the Amarkil Choysim, and the supervisor would put a signet on it. V'nosnil Katlikun, and then they would give it over to the overseers, and Katlikun Choysim, and then the Katlikun would seal it. And then v'nosnil Kohen Gadol, then it was given over to the Kohen Gadol Choysim, he would put his signet on it. V'nosnil Melech, and then they would give it finally to the Melech above all, and he would put his signet to it. Ukashu Matir, and when they wanted to undo this seal, these seals, in order to open up the chamber, in order to take out the money from there, first Hamelech Reyach Yisomei, the king would come and check that his signet is intact. Umatir, and he would break open that signet, that seal. And then Kohen Gadol Reyach, then the Kohen Gadol would come and see Choysomoy, his own seal, whether it's intact or matir, and then he would open it. And then Katlikin Reyach Choysomoy or matir. And then Amarkel Reyach Choysomoy or matir. And then Gizbar Reyach Choysomoy or matir. Continues the Gemara. Einois in Srora la Tzibur b'momoin pochis mishnaim. When it comes to financial authority, make sure you're always working in pairs, not in singles. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman b'shem Rabbi Mono says that al shem, this is learnt out and deduced from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, v'heim, they, in plural, yikhu would take, es hazov, es hatcheles, es argomon, es klas hashoni, es hashesh, they would take all these, the materials needed for the Mishkan. Since it says, v'heim yikhu, they, in plural, would take them, you see, always make sure there's at least two of you together. Continues the Gemara, omrev chomor beirev chanina. Psoiles shel luchis. It was the broken off fragments of the luchis that Hashir Moshe that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be very rich. Hadol dechsiv, and this is what it says in the pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, "Vayim Hashem el Moshe, psol lecha. You should carve for yourself shnei luchis avonim, two tablets of stone, etc." What does the word psal lecha mean? To carve for yourself. Sheteh psoiles, that these fragments that are being hewed away, that are being cut away, are shelcha, they're going to be for you, in order that, and this is what gave Moshe his riches. Omer Rabchanin said no, his source of riches was elsewhere. Machtzav, a quarry shel avonim toives, of precious stones, margolios and pearls, boro le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem created mitoich ha'olo in Moshe Rabbeinu's tent, u'mimenu hashir Moshe, and from there Moshe Rabbeinu became rich. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, Says Vahayok takes Moshe la oil, Yakumu kolaom. When Moshe came out to the oil, then the whole nation, all the people would stand, would rise. Venitzu ish Pesach oloi, and they would each stand at the entrance of their tent, of his tent. Vehibitu achre Moshe, and they would gaze after Moshe ad boy ha'oyelo until he would come to his tent. So when it says here that they would gaze at him, what does that mean? Train Amiroim, there was a machlekas between two Amiroim, Chad Omar Lignai. One said that they were gazing at him derogatively, they were not looking at him with a bad eye, but Chad Omar Lishvach, the other one was looking at them, at him with praise. Mando Omar Lignai, those that were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu, or the opinion that says that the people were looking at Moshe negatively, they said, Chomun look shoykin, at the size of his thighs. Chamun karin, look at the size of his legs. Chamun koipod, look at the size of his flesh. Ochel min diyudoi, whatever he's eating, he's taken from the Eden, from Klal Yisrael. Veshasi min diyudoi, whatever he drinks is from Klal Yisrael. Kol midile, everything he has, min diyudoi, he's taken from Klal Yisrael. And that's how they reviewed Moshe Rabbeinu. Uman do'amal ishvach, but those that say that he looked at him, that they gazed at Moshe with shvach, with praise, they would say, halavai mechami tzadiko, how fortunate are we, and we wish that we could see the tzadikayo, the righteous, or mezaki, and the just. Toivo, it was good for us, the zochas, that we merited, lemech meyose, to see Moshe Rabbeinu. Continues the next Mishnah. Halacha Gimel. Dalut chaysomois hoyu b'migdosh. As we mentioned when we learned a previous Mishnah, that in the Beis HaMikdosh, when people would come, they would pay for the nesachim, which included soiles, flour, oil, and wine. And they wouldn't just give the money and receive these commodities. No, they would give the money, they would receive a token. And then they would go with this token to another chamber where the person in that chamber would take, according to the different token that they had bought, that's how they would know how much nesachim to give, how much soiles, how much shemen, and how much yain. So the Mishnah says there were four different types of tokens. There was any one person who was coming with a korban didn't need more, that would need any one of these four different tokens. And we have to remember, the only korbanis you have to bring nesachim up, either a korban oila, or a korban shlomim, or a metzaira when he brings his chatos and osham. So, and it goes like this. And the different tokens were based not on what korban it was, that means not on whether it was an oila or whether it was a shlomim, rather what type of animal it was. So, Dalut Chisam was Hoi B'Migdosh, the cost of Aleim, and they were marked, it was written on them. One of them was Egel, a calf, which actually refers to any cattle, a bull, an ox, a cow, a calf. That was called Egel. Then there's another one, which is Zohar, which means a ram, which is a sheep, a male sheep, which is more than a year old. Gedi, and then you had a gedi, which is a type of a goat, but this included any type of sheep and any type of goat. A goat, irrespective of whether it was young or old. A female sheep, irrespective of whether it was a lamb or whether it was an adult female, which is a ewe, it was the same. And a young male sheep, which is a lamb. All those are included in Gedi. The only one that was excluded in the Gedi is an adult from 2 years old, an adult sheep. And that was what we called Zohar, that's the ram. That was different. But besides that, all the rest are included in Gedi. And the truth is that really, that's the only three that we have. But there is a fourth one. Why? Because a Metzaira, besides for needing to bring the flour, the oil and the wine, depending on the animals, and it happens to be that a Metzaira would bring a Chatos and Osham, and whatever the korbanos he brought were all included in the Gedi, but he had to bring one loig of Shemen, which would be put on his thumbs and on his ear. That was what the Metzaira had to bring extra. So when he paid in order to get his token, then he had to get oil not just the oil according to the amount of animals that he was bringing, but an extra loig as well. And therefore he needed to have a separate token, and that's called v'choyte. A metzora is called a choyte because we know that person only ever got tzara'as for doing certain averis, which the Gemara in other places discusses, and that's why he was called a choyte. And this metzora who came, he would have to have his own token, which would actually include his three korbonos that he'd brought, which is three times nesachim of the gedi level, plus one loig of shemen. And that was that particular token of the choyte. Ben Azai says, chamisha hayu, there was an extra one, there was five. And not only that, v'aramis kosuv aleim, they were written, what was written on them was not in Loshna Kodesh, in Aramaic. Egel is a calf, that's the same as Egel we saw before. Dochor, instead of saying zochor, meaning the ram, he says dochor in Aramaic, which is the ram. Gdi, again, that's the kid, which includes that whole family of sheep. And choyte dal, the choyte osher. He's making a difference between a poor metzora and a rich metzora. The rich metzora is what we said before, the same as the Tanakama. Choyte is the rich metzora who'd brought three korbonis, and those three korbonis needed to bring three times the nesochim called gdi, plus one loig of shemen. That's no machlekes. The question is, the poor metzora, did he need his own token? Because the poor metzora only brought one korban. He only brought one korban in the bracket of gdi. And since he only brought one of them, one, just the gdi, then there's a machlekes here whether he needed his own token. So we have to remember that even a poor metzora, besides for bringing the nesachim of one gedi, not three like the rich one, he also had to add on an extra loig. So the Tanakhama that didn't mention the poor metzora obviously held that this extra loig was not something that this poor man bought from the Beis HaMikdash. He brought it from home. He was trying to save some money because, as we've seen previously, that the Beis HaMikdash had fixed rates for these commodities, and even if the price went down a little bit in the market, the Beis HaMikdash would not lower their prices. So this poor man may have been trying to save some money, and he would bring this loig of shemen from home, in which case all he needed was the one token of gedi. And that's why the Tanakhama say, I don't need a special token for the poor metzora. For the rich metzora, he's not going to try and save a little few cents by bringing this loig himself. He's going to, together with everything else, all the other things he has to buy, the three gedi tokens, he's going to also buy the loig of shemen from the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he needed his own token. But Nazar, however, argues and says no, that even this poor man, he would buy the extra loig from the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he needed a special token, which included the nesachim of one gedi animal, plus the loig of shemen. That's what we're going to soon see, but that's the machlekes. Another Mishnah explains, Egel, that the token called Egel, what would that serve? That would serve any korban, which is meshamish im nichse im niske, it's the nesachim of bokor, of cattle, gedoilim uktanim, large or small, zachorim and akevois, male or female, makes no difference. Cattle, that was one token of nesachim. And the pasuk in the Torah tells us exactly how many nesachim. It was three isorins of soiles, it was half a hin of shemen, and half a hin of yain. Gedi, the token called gedi, what would that serve? Meshamish im nichsei hatzoin, any flock, gedoilim uktanim, large or small, not including a large male, zechorim unakevis, male or female. That means, right, chutz mishel eilim, besides for the male sheep, for in the second year and on, where that would have its own token. Ail, this, the ail, or what's called the zochor, the ram, or the dochor in Aramaic, is meshamish nischa eilim belvad, it was just the eilim which are male sheep, which are not young, which are from the second year and on, that would have its own token. Choyte, the metzora, the rich metzora, meshamish nischa sholosh behemos shel metzora, that would be the nesachim of the three gedi tokens, the value of three gedi tokens. Three gedi tokens plus the loig of shemen. Mishoy mevakish nesachim, anybody would come to the Beis HaMikdash and want to buy these Nesachim, they would first go to Yochanan, which we mentioned previously. He was appointed, he was in charge of selling the token, so to speak. They would give to Yochanan the money, and Yochanan and the person would receive from Yochanan the relevant token. This person would then go with his token to Achia. Shehu mamun al nesachim, as we saw, he's the one appointed to give out the nesachim. V'noisun lechaisam, they would give to Achia the token, or mekabel memenu nesachim, and in turn, they would receive the relevant nesachim. Le'erev, in the evening, boin zeitzel ze, Yechanon and Achia would come together. V'achia moitzis achisomis, Achia, who was in charge of the Nesachim, would take out all the tokens he'd received that day. Umakabel connect on Mois. And Yochanan, who received the money, would then give the relevant money for those tokens to Achia. And then Achia could pay for the Nesachim. He had the money for the Nesachim. V'im pochasu. What happens if there wasn't enough money to cover the tokens? Pochasu loy. Then it would be on his own, in his own, from his own pocket. Yochanan would have to add the money. Obviously, money had got lost. You can see that you received the money because Achia has the tokens. So you lost some money, pay out of pocket. V'ishanim Yochanan mibeisa, and Yochanan would then pay with for out of from his own home. V'imhoisiru. What happens if there's more money? If Yochanan had more money than what was needed to pay for the tokens? V'imhoisiru isiru lehekdash. Then we say, it's fine, it belongs to Hekdash. Shiyad Hekdash al-Elyayna, because the rule is that the Yad Hekdash, the hand of Hekdash, is always has the upper hand. And we just assume possibly somebody paid a bit extra to Hekdash, and therefore it belongs to Hekdash. Misha Ovat Chisoma, if in the middle of the day somebody came and said, oi, I lost my token, I bought my token from Yochanan, and when time he got to Achia, he'd lost the token. Achia says, without a token, I'm not giving you Nesachim. Mamtinu le'ad erev. They don't give him anything, they wait till the evening. If they realize the discrepancy between the amount of money that Yochanan had and the amount of tokens that Achia had, that there was exactly this amount missing, that Yochanan had money for the token that this person claimed he'd lost, then they would give him the Nesachim against his coin. Vimlav, but if they wouldn't see that there's that discrepancy, they wouldn't give it to him. Now, another point says the Mishnah, v'shem hayoyim kosov aleim, they would write on the token the day of the, which day it was, mipnei ramoim, because otherwise these ramoim, these thieves, or these cheaters, they would buy a token today, and they would use it, now today maybe that the Nesachim are cheap, and they're going to keep these tokens and wait for a time when the Nesachim is expensive and then use them, and then they'll be getting Nesachim for a cheaper price. Therefore, they would write the day you got the token today, make sure that you get your Nesachim today. Says the Gemara, why did Ben Azai have to add on the poor man, the poor Metzaira, that he needed the token of his own? Answers the Gemara, because he bought, according to Ben Azai, the poor man would buy the loig of shemen that he needs for his ear and his thumb. He would buy that from the mamuna, from this achia, and therefore he needed a special coin for that, a special token for that. Barom karabonon mevi gati. However, according to the Tanakama held that the extra loig of shemen he would bring from home, in which case the only Nesachim he was buying was one of a gedi, so he could use a regular token of a gedi. Continues the Gemara. Nischei Rochel Ma. Rochel is a ewe, which is an adult female sheep, which is above a year old. Because we saw in the Mishnah, Chutz Mishal Eilim, that a ram, which was a male sheep, more than a year old, that had its own token. Well, what about a ewe, an adult female sheep? Minmad taninon. From the fact that it says in the Mishnah, answers the Gemara, that gedi meshamish, that the coin, the token called gedi, it would serve the nesachim, niske, tzoin, of the flock, gedoilim uktanim, zchorim unakevois, chutz, chutz mishal eilim, just besides for the eilim, for the rams, from the fact that only the rams were excluded, hador omri, from there we can see that niske rochel, the nesachim of the ewe, is k'nis, niske gedi, is the same as all the other flock of the Gedim. And the source for this would be in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says as follows. And this is a Pasuk which is talking about the Nesachim. It says, Kocha Yase, that's what you should do, Lashoir HaEchod, to an ox, to one ox, Oy Lo Ayelo Echod, or for a single ram, Oy Lase Bakvasim, or the sheep amongst the flock, Oy Boizim, or the goats. And now the Gemara is going to assume that all these words were superfluous. Everything about this Pasuk had already been said elsewhere in the parasha. What is this Pasuk coming to teach us? Says the Gemara as follows. L'shoir ha'echod. The words L'shoir ha'echod. What is that coming to teach us? L'omo ne'mar. Magid says the Gemara to teach us. Sh'le'chile ben niske egel l'niske shoir. There's no difference between the nesachim of a young calf or a shoir, an ox. Shehoyo b'din, because logic may have suggested that ben atzoin ton nesachim u'ben abocha ton nesachim, that also cattle have nesachim and also flock. Flock includes sheep and goats. Also have nesachim. Imotzonu, and since we find shechilek ben niske keves leniske ayil, that when it comes to the sheep, we see that a young male sheep has a different token to an adult male sheep. Has a different token. Lechach, maybe Nachleg will also make a different token, or maybe the Torah has a different token bein niske egel niske shayr, between a calf, a young cattle, and an ox. Talmud Lema, that's why it says kocha yeose. That's what you should do. La shayr ha'echod, for one, for the shayr, for the ox. Magid shaloichilek bein niske egel niske shayr. Everything, the whole family of shayr is all one. And it happens to be that an egel is also called a shoyer. A shoyer ben yoyim echod is called shoyer. We learn from this pasuk that with cattle, there's no difference of to, with the age. Now the moral continues to the next words. When it says in the pasuk, oy lo ayil, what's that coming to teach us? Lamo nemer. Shehoyo bedin, logic may have said, that im matzonu shechilek ben niske ben shono, leniske ben shnosayim, that we find there's a difference between a male lamb up to a year old, and a ram, which is a male sheep, which is more than a year old. Maybe we'll also differentiate lekach nechalik bein niske shnosayim, between a ram which is 2 years old, leniske sholish, and a ram that's 3 years old. And this is a mefarshim discuss, how can you ever bring a korban with a ram that's 3 years old? It would be considered a zokin, too old, and could not be brought. And there are cases when somebody can bring such an ayil. Either way, Talmud Loma, that's what the Pasuk is telling us, Oy lo ayil lo echod, that anything that's an ayil, irrespective of if it's in its second year or in its third year, it has the same status as ayil and the same token as the ayil, the ram. Continues the Gemara. The next words in the Pasuk, Oy lo seh bakvosim, lomo nemar, why does it say that in the Pasuk? Shehoyo bedin, because logic may have said, Im matzonu shechilek bein niske keves leniske ayil, if there's a difference between the token, the amount of nesachim needed for a young male sheep, that means a young male lamb, and an adult sheep, male, lekach nechalek bein niske kisva leniske rochil, maybe there's also a difference between a young lamb sheep, a female sheep, and an adult female sheep, which is called a ewe, a rochil. Talmud Lema, no. Oy lo seh bakvosim, that besides for the ram, all the others have the same status, and the female sheep, it doesn't matter if it's a lamb or a ewe, it has the same token. Finally, the last words, oy boizim, what's that coming to teach us, referring to the goats? Lomo nemar. Shehoyo bedin, because logic may have said, imatzonu shechilek bin niske keves leniske ayil, in the same way as male sheep, we differentiate between a lamb and a ram, between whether it's within a year old or after a year old. Lekach nechalik, maybe we should also make a different differentiation about the goats, bein niske gedi, from between a kid, which is a young goat, leniske tayish, and a he-goat, which is an adult goat. Talmud Lema, we learn from the Pasuk, oy boizim, that all goats are the same. Hikish, we compare cotton shebeizim, legodel shebetayoshim, the youngest of the goats to the oldest of the he-goats. Ma'zeh, in the same way as the young goats, the kids, is beshloishes lugim, is that the amount of wine and oil that has to be brought is 3 lug, which is a quarter of a hin. Avzeh, so too the gold, the largest of the tayoshim, is also b'shloshes lugim, is a quarter of a hin, which is 3 lug. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, v'shem hayoim kosov v'chulu, they would write the name of the day, which day of the week it was, on the coin. Says the Gemara, haga ba'atzmecha, let's think yourself, shazig oise hayoim, maybe he's going to take today's Sunday's token and wait till next Sunday. What does it help that you've written Sunday on it? Says the Gemara, you're right, shem mishmar hayo kosov olav, we know that every week a different family or different group of Kohanim would come, they would be called Mishmoris. They would write on it Sunday from a Mishmar X, that Mishmar. The next week it will be Sunday, but it won't be that Mishmar, they will not be able to cheat. Says the Gemara, Haga ba'atzmecha shezieg oisei mishmar. But you still haven't helped much because they'll wait till Sunday next time round when this Mishmar is there. Says the Gemara, Shem hayoim, they would write the day of the week, Shem HaShabbos, which week it was, Shem Chodesh, which month it was, Hayakos of Aleim, all that would be written on these tokens. And Afilu Rotzu Lezayeg, it's true, you could still cheat, you could wait till next time round, that this month, this day, this week, you'll have the same. But in Motzu Lezayeg, it wasn't common for somebody to cheat to that extent, to wait for this long time away where it would just work out like this again, and we were not concerned about that. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.